I went to Meron.
Again.
Listen to my stories. Listen to my stories. You're gonna be amazed. I came to Tzfat, on the entrance to Tzfat, means I wasn't in Meron yet. I was just in the grave of the Tzion of Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes before. I prayed over there for something like half an hour, and then I went to Meron. On the way in Tzfat, suddenly I had a flat tire. Baruch Hashem, it's happened to me once in a while, Baruch Hashem. Hashem likes to see me sweating, Baruch Hashem. So I switched the tire, changed the tire to the reserve, to the second one.
Donut.
What?
Donut.
I say?
Donut.
Donut?
Donut.
Okay, so I changed it. And in the moment that I started to drive, I had another, like a flat tire. It lost all of the air that it had, that donut. And what are you doing now? And maybe 5 minutes fast drive from Iran means, and I cannot, so I tried to go to drive somehow to a gas station, nothing was there, nothing. Almost 2 hours waste like that, trying to figure it out, praying, asking for Hashem salvation. And then I realized that I cannot drive on the donut. I cannot. So I switched back to the old one, even though that it had a flat tire, but on it you can move, you can do something. So I switched it again. And I drive from there, and I'm driving maybe on 2 or 3 kilometers an hour, mamash not moving. It took me another 1 hour to come from Tzfat to Meron. So I made it. I made it in Meserut Nefesh to get it to Meron. I made it. I parked in the bottom, I was walking, climbing the mountain by foot, I was very happy that I had that Meserut Nefesh to get to Meron like that. I was praying a few minutes, Baruch Hashem, was happy. And then I had to see what I'm doing. It was maybe 2 a.m. Don't know what to do. Needs to get back to Jerusalem. Need to bring the kids to the school, to the Talmud Torah at 8 in the morning. What's going to be? So, and I can drive only maybe 1-2 kilometers an hour, and also it's eating the tire itself. I'm driving, and I'm not moving anywhere. And I was just praying, and I said to Hashem, "Look, I don't have no solution. I need to come to a gas station, maybe to, but there is no, and there is no for maybe 10 minutes drive." Fast drive means for me it's going to take me 2.5 hours or something to drive like that until I'm going to reach a gas station because the donut lost his air, but it doesn't have a flat tire. It means I just need to pump it,
inflate it.
So in the end, like that, I'm driving and hoping, and I'm saying, Hashem, please, don't show alarm. And a vehicle stopped close to me, saw me asking, what do you need, what happened? And he took that tire, three nice, very nice guys, Charedim, took that donut, took it to the gas station, filled it with air, brought it back to me, helped me to fix it, to put it, and I drove back to Jerusalem. So you see that in situations that, so it's not a miracle that you can say, wow, look, but it's a miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding it inside the nature, that you're not going to... If you don't have the vessels to see Hashem face to face, you're not going to see Hashem face to face. It's not going to be good for you. Like I told you the last story about the money, I told you that once, if you remember. I'm going to tell you it again. So, once I had to, also about Meron, also about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. When we bought our house, we had to fix it, to make to shiputz, to fix the house. And I was lack of an amount of 50,000 shekels. And because it grew while you're fixing, it's growing always. You need to, I think it's maybe the Chatam Sofer wrote that if you thought that it's going to be 100, so you need to prepare 200. I think it was the Chatam Sofer that wrote that. One of the tzaddikim said it. You have to prepare double the amount of what that you think that it's going to cost to you when you're fixing. Usually. So I had to, and came a certain day, we're not going to tell you all of the details, came the day that tomorrow I have to pay to the Kablan, to the one that worked, 50,000 shekels. All that he stopped working. And I didn't know what to do. All of the other options, they collapsed, Baruch Hashem. So my wife told me, what are we doing? So I told her, my wife, you know I love you? She said, yes. I told her, you know I love the kids? She said, yes. I told her, so I'm going to Meron. Bye bye, be good. It was afternoon. I drove to Meron. While I'm driving, I'm saying to Hashem Yitzhak, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and I'm doing, I want to do 6 hours, 10 hours, it's going to do whatever, until I'm going to see salvation. 50,000 shekels for tomorrow. And I'm saying, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, look. And I'm praying, please, give me the money, I need the money, help me, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, for the house, for the yeshiva, for me, for the family, for the wife, and all of the reasons, all of the arguments, everything that they have to say. And suddenly I'm stopping, and I'm saying, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, look what's going on. If now, this evening, I'm going to reach there to Meron, I'm going to stand on that Tzion and I'm going to pray, and suddenly a hidden tzaddik going to come to me, going to touch me in the back, going to give me an envelope, going to tell me, here, take 50,000 shekels. This is what I'm asking for, right, Ribbono Shel Olam? If it's going to happen to me, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be crazy. I'm going to be so arrogant. I'm going to be so arrogant from that salvation that I'd rather not to have that salvation. So what I'm going to do? I need to have 50,000 shekels and you cannot hand them to me. Even if you want to give me the 50,000 shekels, I don't have the vessels to receive them. I'm going to be so arrogant that you listen to my tefillah that I came back with 50,000 shekels that I cannot have them. This is what it calls it, bodedut of truth. Really, bodedut. That you're telling a Kadosh Baruch Hu everything. You're not, no, I need the money, please give me the money. No! I don't have the ability to have the money. This is the truth. How am I going to have the money? And I came back at 3 a.m., frustrated and broken, totally ruined, mamash, to the house. Dead tired, mamash. And I went to sleep. At 8 a.m., my mother called me. And my mother, she gave me her soul, so too many times already. And she asked me, so, you had the salvation? I told her, not yet. She said, so, okay, at 1 o'clock I'm going to bring you the money. I was so embarrassed, I didn't want to enjoy from the money from her, I didn't want her to give. And she told me before that she doesn't have any more money to help me, and I understood it, I know it, I wasn't even asking her for that amount of money because she gave me before. And she said that she's going to give me. And because of the embarrassment, that was the thing that gave me. And at 1 o'clock at the noontime, she came and she gave me an envelope with 49,000 shekels. She called me, I owe you 1,000. She owed me. She took 1,000 that she's going to have money. And she gave me 49,000. So actually, I had the salvation. You see, that in the day after, I had 50,000 shekels that I needed. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me feel so bad with myself, so embarrassed, so not happy with the way that the salvation came, that it created those vessels to receive the salvation. I mean, without humility, you don't have the vessels to be answered. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dressing things in nature, like the salvation yesterday with the flat tire. That someone gonna come when you don't have an option and he's helping you. But lemaise, bottom line, I didn't have no hope. There was no one that's gonna help me. No one's gonna take my flat tire and fix it and bring it back half an hour drive and ask them to pay them on the fuel, on their effort. They didn't want it to take nothing. So it's a salvation. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding it inside of nature. So also when we're praying, we need to know that how much it's important to know that Hashem is doing the best with us. And even if He's not answering to you yet, it's just because that for you it's better now not to be answered. Not to be answered, it's better for you. Hashem is the best. He's good and He just wants to do good. And if He haven't gave you something that you want, it's because that you haven't clarified yet what the truth is. Even that you really want it. There was a huge rabbi, Rav Mordechai Sharabi, that he never had kids. Every time that a woman came to the house to ask for kids, for salvation, he was telling her 1 minute, and he went to his wife, the Rabbanit Marat Leah Sha'abi, and he was asking her, Rabbanit, if maybe we have another baby in heaven that is waiting for us, is it okay that I'm going to give him to that poor woman that now needs that salvation? And she was always saying yes, and they never had kids. And every woman that came to them, she went out with a boy, with a girl. Rav Shalom said that he had a perfect mouth, shlemuta dibur, perfect way of speaking, of talking. That every decree that he was decreeing would be answered. Rav Mordechai Sha'abi, he's buried in Haram and Ufad. So, a person, he doesn't know, no, I want kids, I need to have kids, I have to have a house, I have to have a car, I need to have shalom bayit, I need to have educated kids. David HaMelech had Avshalom that wanted to kill him. So don't be so sure that you know that you need to have righteous kids. You don't know what's the best for you, and you don't know what's the best for your kids. Maybe it's better for your kid to do tshuva in the age of 30, after that he's going to fail in all of the most embarrassing failures that can be. And then his tshuva going to be real, that he's going to be, so to speak, religious. It's better. It's better for him that he really gonna get closer to Hashem. But you, when he's 15, you can never tell. You don't know that. This is why you have to believe in Hashem. Hashem, he knows. Hashem, he knows, and you don't know. And if you want to know, so ask. Ribono shel Olam, ata chonen la'adam da'at, chonenu, meitcha, chokhma, bina, vada'at. Let me know. Let me understand. Let me know you. Let me understand you. What do you want from me? This is Judaism. This is Judaism. Also Gemara. It's written in the Gemara, all of those chidushim. It's from the Gemara. Just people learn Gemara and they don't see that. All of the miracles, all of the salvations of Am Israel, through all of the generations, only through prayers, only through Itbodedut, only through Rabbi Meir Baalanes, Elakad Meir Aneni, Elakad Meir Aneni. Please, Hashem, Hashem of Meir, he's saying on himself, Elakad Meir. You are my God, you are my Elohim, Elohim, my Elohim, answer me, answer me. And everyone that is saying that, see salvations. Salvations, huge salvations. There was a person in the Holocaust, his name was Katsetnik. He was in Auschwitz, he was testifying against Yimach Shmo B'Shem Zichro Eichmann in the horrible trial. He was in Auschwitz. He wrote that he had something that was saving him in the camp. He was religious when he was young, and he dropped Judaism when he was in his youth. And then the Holocaust crushed his life totally, a very sensitive person. And after the Holocaust, he became to be an author, and he wrote a few books, horrifying, zazim, books, mamash. And he said that there was something, one thing that was walking with him through the Holocaust, and only that thing saved him. What's that? And he wrote initials, Edma, Aleph Dalet Mem Ayin. What's that? Elakad de Meir Anen. That was the thing that was walking with him in the camps. Elakad de Meir Anen. He wasn't revealing that, just after it, people that were investigating and wrote and talked to his sons, to his family, they explained it, that Edma, that code that he had that was walking with him in the camp, was Edma. Elakad de Meir Anen. That was the thing that was walking with him in the camps. So, who? Because of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir wasn't Rabbi Meir. He was Meir. Elakad de Meir Aneni. You're my God. I don't have no one. It can be Elakad de Michael. It can be Elakad de Hanan. It can be Elakad de Daniel. It can be... It is. If you just gonna realize that Elokei Israel, I'm Israel, it's my God. Can be. If I'm gonna dedicate my life to Him, He's gonna be with me 100%. And if not, only one person to blame, not Him. He's here, He's waiting. Okay, so, page Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Page Nun Aleph Amud Aleph.
What happened at the end with him, with this person who...
He's saved. He's been saved. All of his family went to heaven, Baruch Hashem. But he's been saved. He came to Eretz Israel. He established a new family. He got married here in Eretz Israel. He had these nightmares. He collapsed. He had a stroke during the trial of Yimach Shmo Eichmann. He fainted. When they started to ask, it's this amazing story. they wanted, the judge started to push him while investigating him, that he gonna tell his own experience. He wanted to hear what he felt. He wanted to bring a certain information, but that poor person, Katsetnik, the number. It's what's your number? This is what it means in German. Okay? Katsetnik, what's your number?
Katsetnik, it's more Russian. It's like kibbutznik.
This how the maybe the Ukrainians. This was how the
it's like kibbutznik.
What? No. What's your number? It's in the camp. In the camp, they were asking them, "What's your number?" They didn't have a name. He was so offended from the fact that they took his name, that was one of his scars. That the name in the camp was what's your number. So when that judge tried to investigate him to share from his own experience, he couldn't stand in that and he fainted and he collapsed and he had that stroke. And why? Because after the walk finished and they were walking free, so to speak, in the camps, so there was that mountain of ashes and he stood up in front of that and realized everything, what happened with him and what's going on, and he fell on his face on the mountain of ashes and he made an oath that he gonna be their mouth. And from that moment he had that issue that he is their mouth and he's not exist anymore. And when that judge tried to bring out his feeling, his opinion, his experience, he couldn't stand in that because it was against his being, who that he is. And he couldn't stand in that pressure from the judge. He couldn't realize what he's doing at all, that poor judge. But that judge, I don't remember his name, he died in Yom HaShoah. The judge of he passed away in the Holocaust day, in Yom HaShoah. He was the one that said the psak on Eichmann that's gonna be killed. And he passed away in Yom HaShoah. It's all so spiritual, we cannot understand nothing. Okay, Boisai, thank you. So, we are in page Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph. Maybe 15 lines from the end of the page. Amar Rabbi Zera. The line is starting with Vego, Vegomer, Ad Khalfi Mine, Amar Rabbi Zera. Now, Amar Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera said, Amar Rabbi Abau, that Rabbi Abau said, Be'amri le be'matnit ha'tana, and there is another opinion to say that it haven't been said from Rabbi Zera that said it from Rabbi Abau, just that it's been written in a braita. Be'matnita, they said, it's a braita. So, It's so important to say what is the source of those words. Why? Because like we saw in the Pirkei Avot, it's written that the ones that are saying from who they received that word, from they're bringing salvation to the world. Because by that you're humbling yourself. You say, it's not me. It's not Rabbi Zera. No, I heard that Rabbi Abau said it. And if it's not them, it's for the Braita. So the Braita belongs to Rabbi Chia, like we learned yesterday. So it's Rabbi Chia. So we want the truth. We want really that you will not going to take no honor for yourself. And if you're doing that, you're bringing salvation to the world. So, Tana, it's written, they said, Asara advarim ne'emru bekos shel bracha. 10 things been said means 10 halachot, 10 obligations been said on cup of bracha. Cup of bracha, it's wine of bracha, means the cup of bracha of after Birkat HaMazon. Like we're doing benching Zimun ala kos, and after Birkat HaMazon, we're saying Bore Peri HaGefen, and then ala Gefen Val Peri HaGefen. Okay? So there are 10 obligations on that cup of after Birkat HaMazon. It calls kos shel bracha. Maybe it is, for sure it is. It is a kos shel bracha. Every blessing that there is called kos shel bracha. But here, I don't remember now why. In the beginning, when I learned it like that you said. But after it, maybe we're going to see it there is a reason. Soon we're going to see that you're going to see that there is a reason to connect it to the Birkah of Zimun. So by Pshat, it can be every cup of bracha in a wedding, in Kiddush of Shabbat, Shabbat morning. But still, you're going to see soon that actually it's talking about that cup of bracha of Birkat HaZimun. Bracha after Birkat HaMazon. So first thing is, Ta'un Hadacha. It requires to be what? To be Hadacha Veshtifa. Hadacha Veshtifa, it's two things. What's the difference between Hadacha to Shtifa?
Washed inside and outside.
Washed inside and outside. Thank you very much. Washed. Hadacha probably outside and Shtifa inside, right? But they're all going to be answered, going to be explained in the future. Chai, it has to be alive. Like we said, alive means that haven't been added water to that. Umale, and full. Itur ve'ituf. Itur ve'ituf. Itur, it's when something is, it means ituf, it's wrapped. That it has to be wrapped. Soon we're going to see. The Gemara is going to explain all of that brighter. Itur, it means like iturim, like kishutim. Argument? Ornament? Maybe.
Decoration.
Soon we're going to see. The Gemara is going to explain them all. Notlo b'shte yadav. The man, the person, have to receive it in both of his hands. Ve'notno b'yemin. And when he's handing it to someone else, he have to give it in his right hand. Umagbiyo min akarka tefach. And you have to be above the floor one tefach. Tefach means a little bit more than a fist of a normal person. Tefach?
No. Of the floor?
The ground. Min akarka, from the ground. If it's on the table, so it's from the table. But they were lying on bed, so it's from the ground. But it's from the surface. And just that you're gonna know that I checked it. I looked once on Rav Shalom, and he is not strict on that. There are a lot of things that righteous people understand. It's written that we, Am Israel, we have that mistake of. That you, the strict things you made them light, and the light things you made them strict. So, for an example, I saw Rav Shalom once saying bracha on a certain fruit while that he was sending his hand to take that fruit, and he started Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Borei Peri HaEtz, and Lemaise lelalacha, you have to hold the fruit in your hand, and only then you're allowed to bless. But I saw a lot of it, and for sure we can count on everything. Don't need to make a business out of those things. You understand what I'm trying to say? You need to lift it one tefach above the table. Great, but if you make kiddush like that, it's also great. So. It's written that you should do that. And maybe there was a certain, I don't know, the Chazon Ish or this, and they had a certain issue of mamash being medakdek and mamash totally straight. And every righteous man have his own territory. He's got his own place that he's putting his effort on. One is being very medakdek in brachot, one is being very medakdek in the limud, in iyun, one is that. And us, we need to check what Hashem wants from us. And not to be frustrated that we're not Chazon Ish, or that we're not Rav Shalom Arush, or that we're not Rav Obadiah. You're never going to be, and they're not going to judge you why you haven't been. They're going to judge you why you haven't looked for what Hashem wants from you. This is what they're going to ask you. Why you weren't investigating who are you? What's your specialty? What's your quality? What's your ability? How could you make Hashem satisfied and happy? For sure we need to keep all of the halachot, but... And to stay sane, stay normal. No, this Shabbos, don't touch, don't move, don't breathe. Not the right way. Who gave us the Torah that we're gonna live? The Chai Ba'em that we're gonna live. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nihya B'Tovo.
Amen. Revolution. The reason for that is the
Sinai. No. He's just saying bracha benachat. He was eating, just he was eating. And he was doing kiddush like that in Shabbos. You can see him in Shabbos like that, mamash. And he's concentrating in the bracha. He's lifting the cup. He's doing it already. Understand? Tefach. The reason, maybe by the Kabbalah, there is reasons. But if you're not there, you're not there. Now you know you cannot understand the kabanot harashash in the sidur of the tefillah. You cannot understand the intentions of the harashash of the arizal. You don't understand them. So now you are obligated to pray like that. You cannot. It's not going to be a prayer. It's going to be a limud. So maybe learn it. So maybe if you have time and also on that it's written leolam yadam leolam ilmad adam b'makom shelibo chafetz. A person have to learn only in a place that his heart is desiring to learn. If now you see that you by learning halachot it's drying your happiness, your joy, it's breaking your spirit, so you're exempt. But you don't know the halachot, but still you're exempt. Because it's going to push you away, going to reject you from the yeshiva. If you're going to spend hours and hours on something, on learning something that is boring you, you want to do tshuva, that the Torah is boring you, alright, go do tshuva. Ask from Hashem Yitbarach that it's going to be nice for you, that you're going to enjoy from the limud. Great! But meanwhile, that you haven't received it from Hashem Yitbarach, don't kill yourself. You have to live. You have to revive your wife, to make your wife happy, to bring the Torah to the house. What are you going to bring them? Dry things that they will not, that they're going to also hate it, and they also going to say, what is doing over there in Beit HaMidrash? And why are we sending him? Why we need it? All of that headache. Need to check your house. What's going on? What they want to hear? Someone asked me, my wife is asking, what have I learned in the yeshiva? Told him you should tell her, we learned that we should honor our wives. We learned today, Shiur on Shalom Bayit, how much a person needs to listen to his wife, to care about her. And if it's not your real conclusion from the Shiur, so really what were you doing in the Beit HaMidrash? It is a great question. Even if you learn now Sugiya, if that Sugiya is not bringing you to humility, to learn that there is nothing except of Hashem, and that we need to pray to Hashem on everything, so what were you doing? You think Hashem cares about the cup, if the height of the cup, and not it? Hashem wants you to serve Him in Mesirut Nefesh, that you're going to be glued to Him, that you're going to be attached to Him, that you're never going to leave Him. If you haven't left, got that from the limud, so what were you doing? Yes.
My wife calls me and asks me what I've learned today while I'm still here, before I get home.
That you will not forget to learn.
What did you learn today?
Venoten einav bo, and looking at the wine. Looking means not having no distraction from looking at the wine. Veyesh omrim, and also there is opinion to say, af meshagro b'matana l'anshei beto, that you have to give it as a gift to his wife. Okay, after drinking from it, have to give it to his wife. So still, maybe it's talking about other cups of bracha. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Anu, us, means in Eretz Israel, En lanu ela arba'a bilvad. We don't have all of those 10 obligations. We have only 4 obligations. Hadacha, shtifa, washing from outside, washing from inside. Chai umale. Live means that you haven't added water to it, and full cup. This is it. All of the rest, it's extra. It's not obligations by the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan.
Are you sure chai means that you have not added water?
What?
Are you sure it means that you not added water or that
chai? This is how we learned it. Shu chai umale. Chai means eno mazug. This is the explanation before that we learned on Chai, She'eino mazug, that you haven't added.
So maybe that's where the 3 drops come from.
We talked about it also last time. The 3 drops are coming to cancel judgments. It's something else.
But yesterday I learned about
Chai.
Chai, here, but amazing. Rashi is saying the totally opposite. Rashi is saying what did you say? Shemezgo b'mayim. Look, before when we learned Chai, we learned that it's not mazug in water. Look. Look, an amazing thing. Look, in the middle of Rashi, Rashi is saying, in the old sugya, it's written, Ela Chai. You're not allowed to drink it. Ela Chai. What it means, Chai? Yain Chai, a live wine. She'eino mazug, that doesn't have water in it. This is the definition of chai, that it not contain water. Almost in the end of the page, chai, it's written in Rashi, chai, a live wine. She'mozgo b'mayim, that you put water into it. Amazing. לאחר שנתנו בכוס חי, and now Rashi is explaining, you put it alive in the cup, means with no water, and then you added water. This is what Rashi means chai. Chai means that when you poured it into your cup, it had to be without water. And then you're adding water, and now you can do. This is chai. This is life. Yes.
So you rinse the cup inside out, then you dry the inside.
We're not talking about our generation. That obligation of wine that is alive, chai, that you add water to it, it's not for us today. The wine in those days was very, very strong, that they had to add 3/4 to 1/4 of wine. It was like cognac, it was too strong, very strong. Wonderful. Tana, back in the Gemara, Tana, we learned another braita. Hadacha, what it means hadacha? Mi befnim, to wash it from inside. Veshtifa, and washing it, mibachutz, it's from outside, the opposite from what I said before. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Kol ha-mevarech al kos male, everyone that is blessing on a full cup, notnin lo nachala beli metzarim, they're giving to him a land with no borders. Sheneemar, that it been said, umale birkat Hashem, umale means if it's full, Birkat Hashem, he's going to have the blessing of Hashem full. Also, Yam Vedarom, Yam is the west, Vedarom is the south. Yerasha, he's going to inherit it. Means all of the land going to be his. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Omer, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina is saying, Zoche, he's going to have the merit if his cup is going to be full. Venochel shene olamim, and he's going to inherit 2 worlds. Ha'olam hazeh, this world, ve'olam haba, and the world to come. Itur, what is that? Itur, how we called it? Itur? What? Abraham?
Decoration.
Rav Yehuda Amar, Rav Yehuda said, Me'atrehu. Betalmidim, you have to surround yourself with students. Means people have to listen to your bracha. You have to have students on your table. People that are going to listen to the bracha. Me'atrehu, it's like atara, it's like a crown that is surrounding it. Surround yourself. Rav Chisda, but Rav Chisda, me'aterle benatle. He was surrounding the cup of wine, the glass of wine, with small cups of wine that he's going to pour it to the people, that to his family, to his students. Amar Rabbi Chanan ubechai. And Rabbi Chanan said that wine in those cups that were surrounding the cup, the main cup, have to be a live wine. Amar Rav Sheshet said, "Ube birkat haaretz." You see, and when you're putting the wine in those cups in birkat haaretz, this is what that is in the third, in the second bracha, like we said before. So you see, from that line, we can see that on which cup we're talking, on the cup of after birkat hamazon, because when you're pouring the wine into the cup. In the second bracha. This is the opinion of Rav. Of Rav Sheshet. We're not learning halacha. He's saying the opinion of Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet said, and in Birkat Haaretz. And all of that obligation to pour it in live wine to those cups that were surrounding the main cup is in Birkat Haaretz, in the second bracha. Ituf, wrapping it. Rav Papa me'atef ve'yativ. Rav Papa was wrapping himself with a talit and sitting to do that. He wasn't doing the bracha without a talit. Rav Asi, paris sudra al reishe. He was putting like a scarf on his head. Means to have a second cover to the head. Like we know that the halacha today in Birkat Hamazon, to have two covers.
Double
covers. So, this is what Rav Asi, he was me'atef, he was wrapping his head with the second covering, a scarf. Today there is an obligation in Shulchan Aruch to have Shnei Kisuyei Rosh, in Shmonaisre and in Birkat Hamazon, because both of them are Midoraita. Chasidim are Me'adrim even in Brachot to do that. You see a lot of Chasidim doing like that when they sing Bracha, like that. There are people that count on the two layers. This is the reason of those two layers in the kippah. Others, not.
So if you're wearing a knitted kippah,
if you're under the roof, there is someone that is saying also that it's a covering. It's like a kippah. Huge smile on your face. Move on. You see, this is what I was talking about. What? Yeah. No, not the kippah. No, which? Baruch Ata Hashem Lokenu Melech HaOlam. This is what you should say. This is the main thing. Bless Hashem. Oh, thank you Hashem for the food, for the drinks. Notlo b'shtei yadav, receiving it with his two hands. Amar Rabbi Chinena Bar Papa, Rabbi Chinena Bar Papa says, Maikra, what's the verse that is saying to us that we need to receive it in two hands? Se'u yedechem kodesh, your hands should take the holy thing, uvarchu et Hashem, and bless Hashem. This is the obligation of the Kohanim, se'u yedechem kodesh, uvarchu et Hashem, to bless the nation of Hashem. So, it's also with two hands. But from that verse, they learned also the obligation of receiving it, se'u yedechem kodesh, to take the holy cup, with two hands, uvarchu et Hashem, and then to bless Hashem.
So
to lift.
The 10 fingers, right?
What?
You put the post up with 10 fingers?
It's not written here, but we know that. I know that on the pot you have that obligation. On the bread, on the loaf, you have to put 10 fingers. And also the Birkat Hamazon contains 10 words. Baruch Ata Hashem, Birkat Amotzi. Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Amotzi Lechem Min HaAretz. It's 10. To remind us that 10 been made with 10, that bread been made with 10 through 10 actions. Planting and harvesting and 10 things, grinding and baking. So to remind us that it's all coming from Hashem. Even though that we worked on those 10 things by ourselves with our fingers, but we're going to remember that it's all from Hashem. ונותנו לימין, and handing it only with his right hand. אמר רבי חייא בר אבא, רבי חייא בר אבא said, אמר רבי יוחנן, that you heard from רבי יוחנן, ראשונים שאלו, first ones asked, mean the old generation of חכמים asked, שמאל, מהו שתסייע? The left hand. What gonna be the הלכה with it, if it gonna help? If the left hand gonna help the right hand to hand it to someone else, can I use it? It's a heavy cup. Or the person is very weak. Can he use the left hand? What is going to be if he's going to help the right hand with the left one to hand it to someone else? Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, Ho'il, Rav Ashi said, Because that we heard that question, Ho'il, because that we heard V'arishonim, that the first ones, the old generation, were thinking, they were asking on that question, Ibaya Leu, they had that question, Velo Ipshat Leu, and they didn't found the answer. We just have that question. We don't have an answer from that generation. What's going to be if the left hand going to help to the right hand? So, because that they asked it, and they haven't answered it, so Rav Ashi is saying to us, Anan ne'aved lechumra. We're going to take the strict way. Means we're not going to use the left hand to help. You have to hand it with your right hand. Because that it was an option for them, and they couldn't tell the answer, so maybe it was not allowed, so we're not allowed to take that as an option.
So you have to ask the Rabbanan to write the Rabbanan.
If the first one couldn't answer on that, he's saying to himself, so who can answer today?
Should be the maker.
Should be the maker.
Should be the maker.
It's the Rabbanan, you're right. Rabbi is saying, if actually it's midrabanan, we see all of that obligation, it's only midrabanan, and in Rabbanan we should do lekula. Actually, we see that they took that opinion, ana ne'aved lechumra la'alacha lemaisa. You see the small letter Aleph, it's teaching us, and you can see that in the Rambam, you can see it in Shulchan Aruch, Mag, Tzur Shulchan Aruch. They took it למייסה לחומרה. ומגביאו מן הקרקע, have to lift it from the surface. טפח, one טפח. אמר רב אחא ורב חנינה, רב אחא said that he heard the son of רבי חנינה. מייקרא, what's the verse that because of that verse we learned that we have to lift it? Kost ישועות אסא. The cup of salvations, I'm gonna carry, I'm going to take it, I'm going to lift it. Hashem, Hashem, and then I'm going to bless Hashem. I'm not going to bless Hashem, I'm going to call the name of Hashem. I'm not going to do that before I'm going to lift it. I'm going to take it. Venoten bo'enav, and putting your eyes into it to look at the wine. Ki heichi delo nisach da'atem is mine, that we will not going to be distracted. From the wine by something else, that we're not going to forget the wine. Nisach da'ate, distract his opinion, his mind. Yes. Umeshagro le'anshe beto, and have to give it to his wife, bematana, as a gift, ki hechi det itbarech debitu, that his wife gonna be blessed. So it's a little bit late, but I really wanted to read that story for you. Hanan, we have another 5-7 minutes?
What do you want to do?
Well, Moshe is not here, so we
don't. No, when you're ready, we're going to get him. I'm going to go check and see if the room is there. Go ahead, go.
Okay.
Do whatever you want to do.
It's a very nice story. I want you to stay. Let's stay. 5 minutes. Stay with us.
Okay, I just want to see if the room is open.
I want you to see that Gemara. Soon you're going to see that it's very important in Gemara. Ula, it's a story. Ula, ikla le Rav Nachman. He found himself once as a visitor in the house of Rav Nachman. Karich rifta, barich birkat mezona. He ate bread and he made birkat amazon. Ula. Yahav le kasa de birketa. So Ula gave the cup of blessing le Rav Nachman, to the Baal HaBayit. The Baal HaBayit, the one that owns the house, he's going to say the bracha on the cup. The guest gave the cup to the Baal HaBayit that he's going to make the bracha.
He didn't eat.
I believe that yes, I don't see it written, not here and not in Rashi. Probably yes. Probably yes.
So why would
כשסיים לברך, נתן את הכוס, oh no, all right, wonderful, you fixed me, Baruch Hashem. When he finished blessing, he handed the cup to Rav Nachman to drink, just to drink. Baruch Hashem.
Why
with no connection if he was eating with him or he haven't ate with him. Just he let him to drink from it. He let Rav Nachman to drink from the wine. Amar le Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman told him, Lishader mor kasa de birketa, maybe you should send the cup leYelta to my wife. Yelta, her name, the wife of Rav Nachman, was Yelta or Yalta. And he told him, it's written that you should give it to the wife, so maybe we're going to send it to my wife, and not, I'm not going to be the one that's going to drink from it, just my wife. She's the Balat HaBayit. Amar le Ula, Ula told him, Hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is what I heard from Rabbi Yochanan. En pri bitna shel isha, the fruit of the stomach, belly, of the woman is not going to be blessed. Ela mi pri bitno shel ha'ish, from nothing else except of from the fruit of the belly of the man. So it means that I should give it to you, that you're going to be blessed, and then you're going to bless your wife. But I don't need to bless your wife. I don't need to give the blessing to your wife. Your wife's supposed to get the blessing from you. Ula saying to Rav Nachman. Shenemar, and he's got a proof for that, that it's been said, Uberach pri bitnecha, and he blessed the fruit of your, means male, belly, pri bitna, her belly, lo nemar, haven't been said, ela pri bitnecha, just your, the male, belly. Tanya nami hachi, also we have a proof from a braita on that, that Rabbi Natan Omer, that Rabbi Natan is saying, Minayin she'en pri bitna shel isha mitbarech, where we learned it from, that the fruit of the belly of the wife is not being blessed from nothing else, ela, except of mi pri bitno shel ish, from the fruit of the belly of the man, she'ne'emar, that it been said, uverach pri bitnecha, the same proof, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the fruit of your belly, pri bitna lo ne'emar, her belly haven't been said, Ela pri bitnecha, just your belly. So, we heard it from Rabbi Yochanan, and we heard it from the Braita. Adehachi, meanwhile that Rav Ula is explaining his opinion to Rav Nachman, Shama Yalta, Yalta heard it. Kama beziara, she heard that she is not receiving the cup. She stood up, beziara, with furious anger. Ve'altale bechamra, went down to the Martef Yain Winery. Vetavra dalet mea dane de chamra, and broken 400 barrels of wine. If you haven't received the cup, you're going to see. Broken 500 barrels of wine of her husband, Rav Nachman. Amar le Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said to Ula, Neshader lamor kasa achrina. Please, Mr. Ula, send her another cup. What are you doing to me? She ruined all of the collection. Shalach la, he sent to her another cup. And also he said, Kol hai navga de birketahi. All of the leftovers in the barrel means I poured one cup, and it was the cup of Birkat Hamazon. But you should know that all of the rest of the wine that's in the barrel is also like a cup of blessing. I mean, he tried to satisfy her, to please her. Don't worry, even if you drank from the second cup, it's also a cup of blessing. Shalchale, so she answered to him, Memehadure mile umismartute kalme. People that goes and knocking on doors to sell their things, products, they're talking a lot of nonsense on the way. So from you I hear a lot of nonsense, like from those people, like that from a lot of dregs came leashes, kinim,
from old rags come lice
are coming. So it means your words for me like lice, so keep it for yourself. I don't need your words anymore. You made your... I heard your opinion. This is it. Rav Hanan, now you can go. Oh Hashem, now you're going to thank Hashem and your wife on the way down.
there is a custom.
It's my call.
There's a custom that if you have guests and you're giving something out, if you don't give it to the women, you give it to the husband, to give their husband to give to the women, which they're getting it from.
Yes, yes. You're not going to learn halakha from Yalta.
This
sugya. It's not halakha lemaiste what he was doing. Okay, Rashi.
So you see, like, she's praised. How do we look at it? Like the Gemara is praising her, or the Gemara is criticizing her?
This is her.
No, but what do we take?
About her, that you're obligated to respect your wife, like that Rabbi Nachman wanted.
What do you do if
you're obligated to honor your wife?
To eat in a place where the wife wants to give you, you know, the plate with food in your hand. What's wrong with
if you're gonna insult her by
you are a guest.
If you're gonna insult her by not taking it, so you're not allowed to insult her. It's not allowed. Noach lo la'adam, it's more comfortable for the person to throw himself to the fire and not to embarrass someone in public. No matter what it's going to be. Rather to be burned in hell and not to insult no one in this world. Noach.
Even if she wants to...
Let's try to finish Rashi, please.
She wants you to watch her and tell her...
No. This
Shabbos.
So, tell her Shabbat Shalom. You're not allowed to look. You're not allowed to look. It's halakha that you're not allowed to enjoy from something that is not yours.
Yeah,
so she can want, she can climb the walls also if she wants. You're not allowed to look at her. She's your friend's wife. You're not allowed to enjoy what that is his. If you know that your heart is not in your hand, like that we know that our hearts are not in our hands, to control our hearts, our lusts and stupid desires that we have. So if you know that you have lust for women and you can enjoy from beauty of women, so you're not allowed to look at women. If you know about yourself that you can control yourself and you don't have no bad thoughts and you never have no desire to nothing that not belongs to you, so maybe you can look. But I know that also Baba Elazar was walking with a scarf on his eyes and he was totally clean. And Abraham Avinu wasn't looking at no one, and that Yaakov Avinu wasn't looking. And you know that the real righteous people are guarding, watching their eyes 100%. Even if you don't have... Pastor Shalom. You can write that letter on the ice and hand it to her husband in the middle of August. So, Bezrat Hashem. So, maybe we're going to read out that Rashi tomorrow. Is it going to be okay for you? So we're going to learn hopefully that Rashi tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. We're going to start in Matai Avo. No, Kos Shel Bracha. Cup of Blessing. You see? You found Moshe?
Yeah.
Kos Shel Bracha, we're going to start from here tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.
At the beginning of the class, they said that we, as Hashem, shouldn't expect.
One more second.
We shouldn't ask something from Hashem that will give us gava that might hurt us. That God knows that He won't give us anything that might hurt us.
I said that you should be very brave doing those things, yes. Be very, very brave asking for those things.
But
write it on the ice and bring it to me in the middle of August and then answer to it.
Check. speak about the form of Abraham.